We are so excited to be back here at Crossroads. I don't know if you can tell, but we are thrilled to be back as always. And when I walk through the gate and come through here, it just feels like we never left. It feels like home. It is home. And when we leave, I certainly call it a privilege to be able to leave home and to come home. And when I leave here and go back, I'm leaving home and I'm going back home. It's an exciting thing. And we certainly thank God for that. Thank God for you. You cannot imagine the impact that you have had on me and my family. We pray for you always. Our thoughts are always with you. We love this place. And it has meant the world to us. It has impacted our lives. And I just can't find the words to be able to articulate what you mean to us, your prayerful support, and in every way, your love. There's not a day that goes by that we don't reflect on this place. And our children, they fall right in line. I tell you, they love Crossroads. Just the other day, we've been looking forward to this trip for quite some time. And I asked Michaela, you know, she's a true Virginian through and through. I tell you, she could not wait until we, because we came into BWI. And I told her, Michaela, I even asked her, when we landed in Atlanta, I said, do you feel like you're back home? She said, no, I'm not home yet. I mean, I'm getting there, but I said, when we get to BWI, are you going to be home? No, she said, no. She said she's waiting for when we cross that bridge and she sees the sign, welcome to Virginia. That's when she'll be home. And they certainly love this place. I asked her, Michaela, she said, you're always talking about Virginia and Virginia and Virginia. What is so great about Virginia? Why is Virginia the best state in the United States of America? She said, because Crossroads Baptist Church is in Virginia. And she means that from the depths of her heart. And I guess if Crossroads happens to move somewhere else, I guess that place will then be the best state in Virginia, in the U.S. But we certainly love you all. God is certainly doing something special there in Nevis. We are just happy to be involved and to be a part of it. I get opportunities every single week to be in schools and to be able to communicate with young people. And I've been in classrooms sharing the gospel, and I've seen people accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. We are seeing a young generation raised up as young as 4 and 5, 6 years old. Last week, Monday, I had the privilege of hearing Micah preach his first message in men's prayer on his own. I didn't give him any help whatsoever. And the title of his message was Don't Give Up. And I told the church, if an 8-year-old is going to tell us don't give up, guess what? We can't give up. And I certainly thank God for that. Thank God for my wife, who's a tremendous support for me. She does everything except preach. And I guess that's biblical. Amen. And I certainly thank God for her and for the encouragement that she is. And just, you all know my wife. She's an all or nothing. And she's in it 100%, doing a great job with our women's ministry, among so many other things. Certainly thank God for you. And I'm just lost for words. And I'm trying my best to be able to communicate what is on our hearts. And I certainly thank God for you and love you dearly. And we're going to be around for a while here. And just hearing the choir, it just feels like old times. And we're certainly privileged and thankful that God has brought us here safely. But I'd like to take your Bibles, and I guess you found your place already, in Psalm number 56. Psalm number 56. And the Bible says in verse number 1, be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In anger they cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful and thankful for the wonderful opportunity we have to be gathered here tonight. Dear Lord, we thank you for your blessings, your mercy, your goodness, your grace upon our lives. Dear Lord, without which we could do nothing. We thank you for the opportunity to look into your word tonight. Dear Lord, I pray that you would give me the words you'll have me to say. May they not be my words, but your words. May they be a source of strength and encouragement and challenge to your people tonight. Dear Lord, cleanse me of any sin. Empty me of self. Fill me with your precious Holy Spirit. Help me to be a blessing to your people tonight. And we'll be careful to thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. One of the special occasions in our lives is graduating from school. Whether it's from high school, college, or university, it's a moment of celebration, accomplishment, and relief that all of the hard work has paid off, and that you can now receive that certificate that verifies your achievement. In some cases, I've graduated and walked across the stage with dozens of graduates. Some cases, hundreds and even thousands. But while it's a celebratory time for everyone in general, in most instances, there are few people in the audience who actually know you personally. So it's always quite encouraging when your name is called to receive that certificate, and friends and family, however few they might be, are cheering for you. They're yelling, they're clapping, and they're waving. Because even though everyone is happy in general for all of the graduates, there are supporters there who know you personally, who have stood with you, have supported you financially, emotionally, and prayerfully. And they are saying by their presence, I am for you. In Psalm number 56, David was going through a terrible trial in his life, a difficult time. Saul was after him. But in verse number 9, David was able to say some very encouraging and uplifting words. These words represent a very powerful statement of assurance and confidence at a time when things look bleak. Things looked grim. And what David said in verse number 9 in the latter part, he says, this I know. He says, for God is for me. Amen. David did not say this because he was smarter than everybody else. David did not say this because he was richer than everybody else. He did not say this because he was more handsome than everybody else. But he had learned some things about God to get to that level of confidence and assurance that God was for him. And I want to preach a message this evening that I've entitled, God is for me. God is for me. Why was David able to make such a wonderful statement? We are living in a crazy world. We are living in a messed up world. We are living in a world where chaos is just the norm. But we need to be able to say, as saints of God, listen, it doesn't matter what's happening. It doesn't matter who's in the White House. It doesn't matter what's going on. This I know, God is for me. How can we get to that place? Make no mistake about it. God loves every single person. God wants His will to be accomplished in every single life. But the way in which David makes the statement, not every single person can say God is for me. It requires a certain relationship with God. It requires a certain level of confidence in God that's just not going to happen perchance. So what is it that made David make such a wonderful statement that God is for me? Well, first of all, I want you to notice that David was able to say this because he recognized his desperate situation. He recognized his desperate situation. Look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for there be many that fight against me, O thou most high." David acknowledged that he was in trouble. And the first step to ever finding the solution to a problem is to admit that there is a problem. David was being targeted and attacked by King Saul for doing nothing wrong. He had defended and helped Saul on countless occasions. You know, many people don't rely on God because they figure, "I got this. I'm intelligent enough to figure this out. I have enough money to pay my way out of this situation. I have enough contacts. I'm well connected. I know enough people." David said, "God, I need you. I'm acknowledging my desperate situation." There's some people at times, they have not gotten to the point where they have not acknowledged that their situation is desperate enough. Or they have denied the seriousness and the severity of the situation. David says, "No, not me. God, I am in trouble." He recognized his desperate situation. But secondly, very importantly, David relied on a dependable source. Look at verse number 3. He says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." David said, "God, only you can help me out of this situation. You are the only one who I can rely on. You are the only one who can fix this. There is nobody else. You are the one I must rely on. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." The story is told of a little boy who was afraid of the dark. And one night, his mother told him to go out to the back porch and bring her the broom. The little boy turned to his mother and said, "Mama, I don't want to go out there. It's dark." The mother smiled reassuringly at her son and said, "Son, you don't have to be afraid of the dark. Jesus is out there. He look after you and He is going to protect you." The little boy looked at his mother real hard and asked, "Are you sure He's out there?" "Yes, I'm sure," she replied. "He's everywhere and He's always ready to help you when you need Him." The little boy thought about it for a minute and went out to the back door and cracked it a little. And peering out into the dark, he said, "Jesus, if you're out there, can you please pass me the broom?" You know, we must know that regardless of our situation, God is able to do above and beyond what we may ask or think. Brethren, there is no situation that is beyond God's ability to handle. And David said, "I am relying on a dependable source because God is for me." David recognized his desperate situation. He relied on a dependable source. But thirdly, David recognized this. There was a reality of different sides. Look at verse number 5. He says, "Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me. for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. David says, I'm under attack, but I recognize that we are in a battle. There are two sides. There is evil and there is good. There is truth. There is falsehood. There is righteousness. There is sinfulness. And everybody is not on the same side. We are not all moving in the same direction. Ever realize that in order to do right, it requires more effort than to do wrong? Wrong is so much easier. It is a battle against self, against sin, and against Satan. And whenever we attempt to do what is right, there's a resistance against that. In addition to that, we have a sin nature. David said, I recognize that I'm in a battle right now. There is good and bad, and I must recognize that if I want to win, God is for me. There's no other way. There was a reality of different sides. But notice number four. Very importantly, I love this about David because it's demonstrated in so many of the Psalms. That's why the Bible called him a man after his own heart. That David realized that every deed is seen. There is nothing hidden before God. Look at what he said in verse number 7 and 8. He says, shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears in thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? David recognized and acknowledged that our God sees the seen and the unseen. There's nothing hidden from his eyes. And one of the things my wife and I attempt to do in raising our children is to help them to understand that no matter how young you are, how old you are, you're not just accountable to your parents, but more importantly, you are accountable to God. God sees everything. Or when you're at school and your parents are not there, when the teachers don't see, when the principal doesn't see, God sees. And no matter who you are, you will reap what you sow. When you're treated unfairly, God sees. When you don't know what to do, God sees. When you've done right and you've been criticized, God sees. They recognize that everything is seen. You know, when you treat someone unfairly, God sees that as well. He has the complete and total picture of every situation. Invariably, we only know part of the story. You know, sometimes we address a situation and we become judge, jury, and executioner. And we think, I know all the facts. Guess what? We don't know all the facts. But guess what? We know the one who knows all the facts. And that's why God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. You know, when a case is happening and, you know, there's the gathering of evidence and those lawyers are trying to build their case. Guess what? God never tries to build a case. He knows everything. Every single aspect regarding every single situation, every thought, every motive, every deed is seen by God. David said, are they not in thy bottle? Are they not in thy book? He said, you have a record of every single thing. He realized that every deed is seen. But notice number 5. David had a relationship with the divine Savior. Look at verse number 9. He says, when I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, God is for me. David realized that I have a personal relationship with God. He says, look at the pronouns here. When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. He says, this I know, God is for me. He says, I don't have to rely on my parents' relationship. I don't have to rely on somebody else's accessing God for themselves. I can access God because I have a personal relationship with God. Back in the day when I was in primary school, well, secondary school rather, annually, we would do what's called a walkathon. And that walkathon was done to raise funds. And what we would do, we would walk around the entire island. Now you may say, wow, how long was that? Well, that was probably roughly around maybe 20 miles or so, which tells you that our islands are not very big. So, but we would walk around the island, and I remember probably halfway or so around the island, I would come upon my grandmother's house. And when I got to my grandmother's house, beforehand, I've already calculated and evaluated that when I get to her house, that's going to be like a pit stop for me. And I'm going to go up to her house and I'm going to get refreshed with drinks and snacks and all the things that a grandson would be able to get from his grandmother. And the reason why I was able to do that was that that was my grandmother. Everybody else could not just open the gate and go up and say, Miss Jeffers, do you have some snacks? She would say, who are you? But because I was her grandson, I could open the gate and I could walk right in because I had a relationship with her. Brethren, if we're going to be able to say that God is for me, we must have a relationship with God, a personal relationship, knowing God for ourselves. And brethren, that's one of the other things in raising up this generation, raising up a generation of young people that love God. We must let them know you need to know God for yourself. There's a point where children are going to come to church because their parents bring them. But there must be a point where you are deciding to go to church because God is for you. Personally. I'm always amazed, and I come upon this regularly. And I must say to you that probably, I don't know if it's like here, but in the islands, people are very religious. It's one of the biggest obstacles to really seeing people accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, because everybody has a church. Everybody goes to church. People have a church, even whether they go or not. I've gone to places and knocked on doors, and my wife and I have knocked on doors and gone up and seen a person who we've never seen before and say, oh, hi, we'd like to share the gospel with you. What church do you go to? They say, Shiloh Baptist Church. I said, which Shiloh Baptist Church? I've never seen you before. But they are claiming Shiloh Baptist Church as their church. People are very religious. And the other day I was browsing online and I was on this online newspaper. And I was reading some obituaries. And as I read the obituaries, I came across a statement on every single obituary. This person has departed this life. And is now in glory. Every single person, that statement was made for every single name. And I was thinking to myself, based on what? It must be based on a personal relationship with Almighty God. Not based on good works. Not based on baptism. Not based on church membership. Not based on confirmation. I still don't know what that is. But it must be based on a belief in one's heart that Jesus Christ came to this earth to die for my sins personally. And based on my repentance and belief and my confession in Him as my personal Lord and Savior. That's the basis on which I can call Him my Savior and my Lord. David had a relationship with the Divine Savior. But notice number 6. David rejoiced in the definitive scriptures. Look at verse number 10. It says, in God will I praise His word. In the Lord will I praise His word. David says, I love the word of God. It's about time when we celebrate the Bible. Why? Because it is a place, it is something we can stand on. We can depend on it. You can live on the principles of the Word of God. It is a powerful word. It is potent. It's practical. It's probing. It changes our lives. It's relevant to our daily lives, right where we are. When we walk through the doors and we come through to a church service, we should have the mindset that God is for me, and God, since you are for me, there is something that you want to say to me. What do you have to say? And God, whatever you say to me, I will do it. Why? Because God is for me. Brethren, that's why it's a travesty, it's a tragedy when God says something to us and we decide, God, I'm not doing that. God says, I want you to do this. God, I'm not doing that. God, I want you to go there. God, I'm not doing that. What we are doing by refusing to do what God says, we are hindering the blessing that God wants to pour out on our lives, because God is for us. God will not lead us astray. God does that by directing us in accordance with His word. That's why David was able to say, I will praise God for His word. It is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Praise God for His word. It keeps us on the right path. David says, I can rejoice in your definitive scriptures. But notice, number 7. David says, as a result of this, as a result of the fact that I can stand on your word, I can rely upon it, I can depend upon it, I'm able to now rest in difficult surroundings. Look at verse number 11. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. David said, in spite of the fact that I'm under attack, in spite of the fact that I'm criticized, in spite of the fact that I'm accused unlawfully, I can rest in the difficult situation. I remember as a child, during bad storms and hurricanes and the such like, hearing a loud and frightening crack of thunder and racing to my parents' rooms. Well, room, singular. Just want to clarify that. Just in case there's a misunderstanding. And now when I got to their room, the thunder still clapped. But guess what? I felt better. I was able to rest because I knew that they were for me. They were going to protect me. Now I'm actually as a parent now in the protecting mode. For my children, when the thunder claps, when the thunder roars. But I'm only able to do that when they actually hear the thunder. My children, they sleep hard. When I tell you they sleep hard, they sleep hard. At this point, I truly do not know what it would take to wake them up at night. And the reason why I tell you that is several months ago, my wife and I were probably about kind of falling asleep, but not fully. We were close to, you know, as we say, dozing off. And we heard this loud, sickening crash. And what had happened was that, and we had suspected that this might happen, we just didn't know when, and we were hoping to have it repaired prior, but our kitchen cabinets were somehow not fastly secured to the wall, and they were moving away slightly. We need to get this repaired. And unfortunately, at that point in time, they came crashing down. Cutlery, glasses, everything, all over. Listen, it was a sickening crash. There was glass all over the kitchen, the dining room, the living room, the counter, everywhere. And guess what? The children slept through the whole thing. We cleaned up everything. They got up the next morning, walked into the kitchen. What happened? No cabinet. I said, you slept through the entire thing. You didn't hear anything? They sleep very high. But thank God that we can rest in difficult situations. Like we can place our trust in God. Why? Because simply put, God has our back. I brethren, that's a wonderful place to be. Where we can say, the situations around me might not have changed. The attacks might still be coming. But God is for me. I can rest. I'm placing my faith and trust in Him. David says, I can rest in difficult circumstances. But notice finally, verse number 12 and 13. David was able to say, God is for me, because he remembered that his destiny was secure. His destiny was secure. He says in verse number 12, thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? David says, God, you have promised some things which are absolutely secure. Your promises are not like man's promises. Your promises cannot be broken. Thy vows are upon me. As a result, God, I will praise you because you've said it and it's already done. It is as good as complete. The story is told of a little boy who was praying, and he said, dear God, please take care of my daddy and mommy and my sister and my brother and my doggy and me. Oh, and please take care of yourself, God. If anything happens to you, we're going to be in a big mess. Brethren, it would be a big mess if anything happened to God. But guess what? God's position, it is secure. His promises are sure. God, you have wonderful plans for my life. You have given me the ultimate gift of eternal life. And based on that alone, how can you withhold any other good thing from me? You have a destiny for me, a purpose for my life. And brethren, one of the things I say often to people, God has a purpose for your life. God has a plan for your life. You cannot afford to miss out on what God has for you. It is good stuff. God is for me. Brethren, God is an awesome God. God is a good God. God is a great God. And oftentimes we go through trials and difficulties. And at times the temptation is there to question the goodness of God. Question what he's trying to do. But God has a destiny for our life. That if we fully got a hold and a grasp of what he's trying to do, we would say, God, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to serve you. I'm not going to waver to the left or to the right. Why? Because God, you are for me. And I can't afford to miss out on the destiny. David says, amidst all of this trial, amidst all of the hurt, amidst all of the pain, you have made a vow that cannot be broken. And my destiny is secure. It's amazing that at times we put our faith and trust and rely in man more than we do Almighty God. That's misplaced trust. Misplaced reliance. Let's recognize that God has something great in store for our lives. And let's all get to the point, if we're not there already, that we're able to say like David, that God is for me. There are lots of things that we can predict. Lots of things that we can explain. Lots of things going on in our world that truth of the matter is, not going to get any better. But in spite of all that's going on around us, we can have the assurance and confidence that if we can say like David, that God is for me, that we will be fine. And I tell you, ministry is one of those things that you have up days, down days, sad days, glad days, happy days. Listen, it's all in the mix. But when you can know that God is for me, as the song says, with Christ in the vessel, you can smile at the storm because God is for me. If we had bowed right close. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the assurance, for the confidence that we can have in you. Dear Lord, we are living in a world of chaos. We're living in a world of trials, difficulty, challenges, family problems, emotional problems, financial problems, problems. David faced problems. And we will continue to face problems. But dear Lord, amidst it all, we help us to be able to say like David, this I know, that God is for me. Heavenly Father, I pray that if there's someone here tonight who is not able to make that statement with assurance and confidence, be it a departure from their walk with you, backslidden state, let me help that one to return to you. Help that one to endeavor to draw nigh to God, and we will draw nigh to him. Cleanse their hands, sinners, and purify hearts, you double-minded. So that one would be able to have the confidence and assurance to say, this I know, that God is for me. For someone who does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, may that number one recognize that you came to this earth to die for him or her, to redeem lost mankind, to bridge that gap that was the result of man's sin, so that that person can be able to say with assurance, confidence, not based on good works, not based on their own righteousness, but based on the righteousness of your Son, that this I know, God is for me. Heavenly Father, we are so undeserving of what you do for us. But we are thankful that you draw us to yourself. Lord, I pray that you strengthen each heart here tonight. Help us to walk out of these doors with heads held high, walking in boldness, assurance, and confidence, facing our trials and our difficulties with the assurance and the confidence that this I know, God is for me. Take full control during this time of invitation. Have your divine way. Thank you and praise you. Give you all the glory and honor to your holy name. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.